and welcome to the Off-Kilter Quilt. My name is Frances, and I'll be your hostess. And welcome to episode 209. I am finally done with that dang quilt episode. Oh, y'all, I just posted the picture on Instagram. I actually posted two because the first one that I posted, I thought I had edited it so you could see the whole quilt. And then when it went up, the top and the bottom had been cut off. And sort of a lovely thing happened. Several people just immediately liked it, which I really appreciated. But then I felt like I couldn't delete it because that just seemed rude. I don't know if there's Instagram etiquette that covers that, but I'm like, I'm not going to, I mean, one of them was AJ Deb. I love AJ Deb. I'm not going to delete her heart. So I just posted the second picture. So maybe it looks deliberate, like, oh, you know, she's just really happy to be done with this quilt. And you know what? She is. Oh, y'all. I talk about it in the Quilt Diaries. I take you through the process. I quilted this. I unquilted it. I requilted it. The quilting I ended up with was spiral quilting, and it's really in some ways two really big spirals, and it's super cool. I loved doing it. I was working on it Friday night, and I was sitting at my table, and I was watching something on the iPad, probably Nurse Jackie. I've just rewatched that. For the second time. It's a really good show. Really hard in a lot of ways, but deals with addiction, I think, in this way that's amazing and realistic. In event, so, you know, I'm watching Nurse Jackie, and I'm just doing these spirals and occasionally checking in with my girl Jackie Gehring because she has a spiral section on her first Craftsy class. So, and I was just like, I'm so happy at this very moment. I'm not an unhappy person, but you know those moments of kind of pure happiness where you just feel satisfied with what you're doing. That was one of those moments, and just I think everyone should try spiral quilting. There's just something about making these circles round and round. Anyway, so the quilting looks really cool. The problem with spiral quilting, and if anyone has suggestions about this, let me know, is it's hard to make the quilt lie flat. And particularly this one, I think, because it's a very narrow quilt. Now, I set up some rules for myself doing this thing. And I guess the main rule was I was going to limit how much money I spent on extra fabric. And I think probably, I think it was around $30. I bought some white Riley Blake, solid white for the background. And I bought a few other solids because this was a hard challenge. And it's interesting looking through, if you go on Instagram and do hashtag MQG fabric challenge, there are a lot of amazing quilts. People have done really incredible things. But I have the sense of others struggling too, because some of the quilts, while absolutely amazing in terms of design, it's like you don't actually see a lot of the Riley Blake prints. Other people also went out and invested in solids. And what's interesting too is that you, as you scroll down, you get into last year's challenge. And that seemed to me to be a collection of fabrics that were much solider. You know, it struck me as, wow, that would have been a lot easier of a challenge. This was quite a challenging challenge. But yes, one of my rules was I was not going to buy any more fabric. And now, you know, I honor myself for honoring that rule. It's good to set rules, but I kind of wish that I had sucked it up and bought another yard of the white and made this quilt 8 inches wider. I think it is a cute quilt. I like it. I'm frustrated. I did block, by the way, after I finished the quilting. when I first finished the quilting, it was just like a mountain range, you know, it was like a contour map, a 3D contour map. And I was like, oh, good grief. So I did, in fact, watch some good tutorials on not just blocking. And I think I posted not that long ago, earlier this year, a really good tutorial by Quilting Jet Girl But in particular, somebody had, I think it was Film in the Fridge, they had done a small wall hanging where they had spiral quilted their quilt, and they and she did a tutorial on blocking that. And then there was a third tutorial, and I don't know the name of the person who did it, but I have linked to it in the show notes. It is the most in-depth blocking tutorial that I have stumbled across. It's really, really good. So I did block, and that helped, but the fact is it's this quilt will never in its life lie flat. So photographing it was a challenge, and you know, and I finally sent a bunch of the pictures I had taken to my friend Kristen, and the first picture I took, I had actually, yes, thumbtacked this to my wall. And it wasn't a great picture, but she thought, but it was straight on. And she really felt like that was maybe not that exact picture was a great picture, but that the straight on photograph was the one. And so I actually hung the quilt from cafe curtain rings and took a picture. And I took a bunch of pictures. It's not the greatest picture in the world. And it may not be the picture that I submit. I may ask the man to come in and, you know, bat last on this, because he's a very good photographer. But thinking about, I also think that the problem with the spiral quilting and the flatness of the quilt might have been lessened if the quilt were wider. It is such a narrow quilt. I mean, it really is. It's like 40 inches and it's 60, I don't know how long it is, but it's long. I mean, it's 70 inches, maybe. I mean, it's a long quilt, so it's a very wide, narrow, long quilt. But you know, it's going to fit beautifully. I've been wanting a quilt for the for my stairwell. You know, I've talked about that when coming down the stairs, and there's just this blank wall, and this will fit, and it's going to make me happy, and it will be a nice, bright quilt for that space. So that I'm happy about. You know, when you work on a project like this very intensely, for you know, I've been working on it, you know, for a month at least, you can get really tired of looking at something. It's very similar to working on a novel or a short story or a poem, where you get to a point where, like, I cannot read this anymore. This sounds so stupid to me. This is so idiotic. I can't believe anyone would read this happily. And the thing to do at that time is to put it away. And then you come back to it. You're like, oh, you know what? This isn't that bad. In fact, parts of it are actually good. And I think that I may go ahead and hang the quilt because it's a gray, rainy day. Not that we complain about the weather. And I just think, oh, that would be so nice there. That would be such a pleasant quilt to have hanging there. But I think there will come a time when I look at pictures. I mean, I'm looking at it right now, and I think this is a cute quilt. This is darling. It was quite a challenge. I feel like I learned a lot from it. Kind of wish I'd gotten that fabric, but that was a rule. It's good to stick to a rule. And it, you know, it took a while. It feels like it took such a long time to get here. And part of me is like, you know, I spent too much time on this. You know, even this afternoon trying to get the photograph. I'm like, I'm spending too much time on this. But at the same time, I'm thinking, like with the unquilting and requilting, you know what? Sorry, I'm a reviser. It took me a while to figure out how to quilt this quilt. It took me a while to figure out that my original plan wasn't going to work. And you know what? So I learned. And hopefully the next time I sit down to quilt a quilt, I'll make fewer mistakes. This is not a given with me, as we know. But I hope that I'll go, you know, and I have a couple quilts that need quilting. And I hope that I will make better choices right from the get-go. But I'm very happy with this. And also it forced me to sit down, spend some more time with Jackie Gehring, something I'm always very happy to do, but also to really, like, how do you do this? What's the right way? And to really kind of pay attention, because I just want to try stuff. I don't want instructions. I don't want anyone telling me what to do. But it occurred to me, it's like, but I want to get good at this. And I think through the walking foot quilting and the straight line quilting that I can. And I love the quilting on this. And, you know, I very much like the quilting, and it's similar. I really like spiral quilting, I think. But, you know, it's like I really like the quilting on Bauhaus Birds in the Air. This quilting, as far as spiral quilting goes, it's much more even. It's so funny. I'm standing about 10 feet away from the quilt, and so I know there's some really egregious errors. But I just told myself I'm not messing with them because I think I will not be able to find them later. And sure enough, I'm looking at them like, I don't know where they are. Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. So I'm glad I did this challenge, and I'm trying to get out of that mindset like, oh, I just spent too much time and I could have made 5 quilts, which is not even true. You know, that's such a lie. I have missed working on my chair quilt, the sit-in quilt, and I'm eager to get back to that. And think, but while I'm working on it, and it's going to take a little while. All I've done is one row of chairs so far. But to really think about, as I'm working on it, how should this be quilted? How should this look? What's going to be the best thing? And maybe also ask some people. Maybe if you have ideas, if you're any good at this, let me know. But yeah, so I do feel like I learned something about quilting. I learned something about design. I learned something about both following my own intuition, but also getting help from other people and getting ideas from other people. So it's all good. It's all good. It all goes into the big pot, right? This isn't a race. It really isn't. So anyway, I need to cut this short since I have a couple of quilt diaries for you to listen to. But I will put the picture of the finished quilt on the show notes. So let me know what you think, and let's get on with the quilt diaries. Quilt diary day 1. It is Thursday, April 13th, 2017. I'm sitting in the front room, my dog by my side, looking at the back of the Riley Blake Challenge quilt. What shall I call this quilt? Someone suggested wing, which I think is very nice. I had been working with an acceleration of sparrows or larks. I can't remember. I think it's sparrows. I think it's an acceleration of sparrows. That's what the grouping of sparrows is called. I'll check it out. But which I really, really love. Love that title, but I love the simplicity of wing. So that's very high on my list. But for now, of course, I'm just going to refer to it as the Riley Blake Challenge quilt. Looking at the back, which is simply a piece of muslin that I'm sure I bought at Joann's with some thought of doing, you know, quilt sandwiches to practice my free motion quilting. Ha! And I pulled it out, and it turned out it's like the exact size of the front. So it's, say, 42 inches wide, 72 inches long, which is great, but of course the back needs to be a little bit bigger. So right now it has a stripe down. If you divided the back, this piece of muslin, into quarters, it would be at the edge of the first quarter, starting reading from left to right. And I made this stripe out of 2.5-inch squares. There are bits, pieces of fabric from the Riley Blake fabrics that I used on the front. And it looks really cool, to be honest. I really like it. I think, however, I'm going to need to do one more stripe to really get a good 2 inches on either side. And then I'm going to do something on the bottom as well. To add a couple inches in length. I may just do a stripe of solid blue on the bottom. I'm getting to the point with this quilt where, on the one hand, it's been fabulous in a lot of ways to work on it, to document the process of the designing and the messing around that has taken place. The sort of collaborative input I have gotten from friends, primarily Holly Ann, Vicky, and Kristen, have been very, very helpful in giving feedback and offering ideas that have been formative in the shaping and making of this quilt. And at the same time, I'm about ready to be done with this quilt, quite frankly. You'll be proud of me. I've already made the binding. And the binding is simply lengths of fabric from the fabric used in the quilt. So it will be a multicolored, variegated binding, which is nice because my desire has been to add some color on the sidelines of this quilt. And it's possible I'm going to put this binding on and go, no, really it should be bound in just simply in white or perhaps a dark blue. But I've wanted a little bit of color. I've also, I wish it were about 6 inches wider. I think that it's a little bit out of sync proportionally, and I would have to go, I have one textbook online, not online, on ebook. I don't think books are on ebook, are they? No, on Kindle. An ebook graphic design textbook that I've really enjoyed looking at, and and there is some stuff about ratio, and I think this is ratio-ly challenged. My challenge quilt is challenged in terms of it's a skinny quilt, and you know it's a quilt that will be functional. And I could see in my dream home, we have a dream guest room with a beautiful single bed, because we only allow one guest at a time. At that, you're lucky if you get in for dinner, quite frankly. But having, say, a duvet on the bed and then this quilt on top of the duvet, it would drape a little bit over the edges of a bed, but not much. But, you know, I do like a functional quilt. Obviously, I have made non-functional quilts, but there's part of me, I think in some ways, perhaps by working toward functionality, it makes more room for accepting failure. Because if you make an art quilt or a wall hanging that ends up not working, I mean, on the one hand, I'm totally cool with that because failure is part of the process. On the other hand, it's like, it's a lot of not just time, but investment of money in fabrics. And so you kind of feel like, wow, because you can, even like, you know, a crappy twin size quilt is still a functional quilt, a usable quilt. And, you know, whether you use it or, you know, foist it off on poor people, that sounds terrible. But, you know, I'm kind of joking about the whole thing about charity quilts. Oh, that quilt didn't turn out? Just give it to charity, like, because people in need have no taste. See, this is not true. I'm trying to be facetious, and yet I feel like it's not coming off. So let us leave this subject and go back to why I desire functionality in quilts. But also, I mean, that's one of my favorite things about quilts, is that they're beautiful, oftentimes, and functional. And I'm very, what is the school? What is the school of thinking that I'm thinking about? Arts and crafts. I guess the arts and crafts movement and what's his face? I want to say William Arts and Crafts. Are you with me? Are you with me? I know that if you're like in your early 50s, you're like, I am so with you, Francis. I know exactly what it's like to sit there and search for the right words. It'll all come back to me like probably about 2 a.m. this morning when I wake up, as I do oftentimes. Yeah, so, and I want to say William Maxwell. It's not William Maxwell. He's a writer, worth reading, but it's not William Maxwell. So what I have left to do, I think, is to add one more stripe, to widen the backing, add a bottom stripe, I think of a solid dark blue, to go with the length it needs, and then quilt it. And I think I'm going to use something from Jackie Gehring's Walk book, a sort of organic curve, that I think will look like air currents, perhaps like a little cloudy, a little air currenty. And and I hope will be fun to do. And I need to really sit down and think before I act. Think before you quilt, right? So that I don't spend a lot of time unquilting. It's all grist for the mill, isn't it? Everything. What did Annie Smith, my dear, really close, very close friend Annie Smith, tell me? That, you know, each quilt, this quilt is practice for the next quilt. And I do believe that. And I do believe in the beauty of just being involved in the creative process. I think is good for your soul.
So I want to discourage myself from thinking, oh, well, I've spent this much time and this much money, and it's not even a quilt that's that I picked out the fabric for. I'm starting to resent this quilt. But I am, I don't know. I think it's going to be a nice quilt. I look forward to seeing the finished product. I am very glad. Excuse me. I'm setting the timer. You see, it's 4:15. And what that means is it's time to preheat the oven to put in Will's frozen pizza for when he gets back from baseball. Will, he'll be absolutely starving, and it's really just a matter of get some calories into this child. Yes, even calories devoid of nutritional content. Nutritional content, nutritious content, what have you. So it's a funny thing. Yeah, but I'm trying to think. We're just, you know, got one toe dipped in eternity. And if you think of it that way, then no time is wasted except for time. Except for time spent on social media. And even that is not true. Even that is not true. A lot of time on social media, let's face it, is spent wasted. But time quilting, never ever. So that's what I'm doing. I want to get back to my chairs, but this is good. It's good to do this. I have been challenged by it. It has been an interesting process to me, and I hope that I will learn from it. And you know, when it's all over with, look at the picture on the blog and give me feedback, right? I mean, that's, I do like that idea, and that, you know, it's like, you know, knowing that I'm not going to change it. Right, I think some people might be reluctant to give feedback if there's nothing you can do about it. And believe me, when I'm finished with this quilt, I will be finished with this quilt. But that doesn't mean you couldn't look at it and go, you know what, I actually would have done such and such and so and so. Now, one thing that limits me from doing such and such and so and so is not only feeling like, oh, there are other projects I want to get to, but also my absolute refusal to spend more money on this quilt than I have. And I've not spent a ton. I think I talked about that last time. I think perhaps $30. So it's not bad at all. I don't know. I'm not counting in the cost of muslin, but you know, muslin costs not very much. So I've not spent a lot of money on it. But I didn't want to spend a lot of money on it. So if I were spending money on it, I would probably widen the fabric. That would probably, widen the width. I would add to the width of the quilt. That does bother me a bit. Yeah, but I'm not going to spend money. So why, let's not talk about this anymore. Let's stop, shall we? What else to tell you? Looking forward to getting back to my chairs. I really am. And I've gotten interested in this quilter named, and probably everyone already knows her. Her name is Casey York, and I'm sure, I don't know if my girl Allison Rosen is listening or not, but I'm looking at this book online that she did on applique. So she's like a modern applique person. I learned about her from reading Generation Q. It's the fall winter 2016 issue. And there is an article about her. And interestingly enough, they don't show, I think there's like one small picture of her quilts, but I was interested because, you know, doing applique right now and interested in the notion of modern applique. So I went online and I actually recognized some of her quilts. And they're very cool. And I'm excited by the notion of what you can do with applique in a way that I haven't been excited about applique and traditional quilts. But you know, working on the chairs and working on this and thinking there's so much that applique allows you. And in any event, so there's a book of hers, I can't remember what it's called. I'll track it down and put the link in the show notes. Should I actually recall that I even spoke about it? But I looked at it again today. It's like $18. And do I have $18? Yes. Are we about to pay taxes this weekend? Yes. I'm not feeling very spendy right now. And in fact, I may put in a request for my library and see if they'll order it. But it looks great. But I was reading the description again, and it says it includes projects by so-and-so, so-and-so, and so-and-so. And one of the so-and-sos was Allison Rosen. I was so excited. And I know that Allison's a big applique person. And so on. Allison, Within a Quarter Inch, which I hope is still up on iTunes. She hasn't updated in a year or so. And I haven't been, you know, I need to check and see where if she's been updating her blog lately. But I thought I need to go and look at her blog and go back and see what tips and tricks she has to offer on her blogs for applique. And I'm really interested in the possibilities here. As always, I learn things the hard way. I learn things backwards. I did use fusible web for the birds, for the diamonds on the challenge quilt, the Riley Blake quilt, the wing, the flock, the acceleration. And I also used stabilizing fabric on the back. I don't know a lot about this. And I don't know if there's a good applique class on Craftsy, although since I'm not in a spendy mood, I'm not really in the mood to spend yet more money. Not more money, but spend money on yet another Craftsy class that I may or may not watch. But I'm curious. I'd like to learn more. So if you have ideas about how I might learn more about applique, if you have a really good resource, let me know. I think my girl Annie Smith has some stuff out there, so I'm going to check that out as well. What to tell you? Will's playing baseball. He's playing well. He's gotten to the point in the season where he's starting to be more aggressive at bat, which is good. We always have to suffer through the first 3 weeks where he's just kind of taking these lackadaisical swings, like, hey, I'm at the plate, I might as well, you know, swing or something. But yeah, there might be a ball involved, maybe not, I don't know. And you're just like, come on, man, let's put a little emphasis on that swing. And so he has started doing that. And the weather, not that we noticed the weather at all, but it has been kind of lovely, and it's been warm. It's been like 80 degrees, but there's no humidity. Man, there's this family that's moving here from California, from Los Angeles, from a place called Manhattan Beach, which I looked it up just to see pictures. It looks so beautiful. And it's beautiful here, but I don't think it's like beautiful, like all year round, beautiful weather, California type beautiful. And so I have to remember, so we were asked to be this family's mentor family. They have one child who is going to be in the 9th grade at our school in the fall. And because Will is Mr. Easygoing, can, you know, have a conversation with anybody or anything, we are often asked to be mentor families if there's a new family coming into Will's grade or a new child coming into Will's grade. And so I actually, the mother was here to house hunt, and so I had coffee with her yesterday. She's very, very nice. And just the husband got a job offer here that he could not refuse, so they're coming. And I'm a little worried for her, not only because she's lived in Los Angeles for 30 years, but it's just a different place. And there are seasons, and there's, you know, really cruddy humidity in the summer. And but I have to remind myself, I can befriend this woman without actually having to be responsible for the entire state and ecosystem of North Carolina. It's actually not my fault. The weather's not my fault. I did not make them move to California. Therefore, I'm not responsible for them enjoying themselves here. I will certainly extend my friendship. And I really like this woman. She's very nice. There's part of me going, are you sure you want to do it? Really? I mean, because California, it sounds very nice where you're from. But yeah, I just have to let that go, don't I? And be a good friend when she gets here. And just tell her the humidity, it makes your skin pretty. Which it does. I mean, it makes it actually kind of sweaty and glowy at the time that you're out in the humid air. But I think in the long run, it behooves us to live in a very moist climate, as we do here in Central North Carolina. Well, I think that's what I have to tell you for now. But I perhaps will have more to tell you later. And if I do, I will do another quilt diary. Quilt diary day 2. It's Friday, April 21st. I'm sitting here on the couch with Travis. I've just made bacon. Some people are getting BLTs for dinner, sadly, to Travis. He is not one of them. Friday night, we've gotten kind of lazy about cooking. I'm not in a cooking mood right now. I should say I'm not someone who actually gets in a big cooking mood ever, although sometimes in the spring, I get kind of vegetably and go to the farmer's market and buy beets, and then they rot in the rotter, as my sister-in-law's sisters call the vegetable drawer. Yeah, I have lots of dreams. I am nothing if not a dreamer. But let me tell you what's going on in my world. In my world, everything is, it's fine. Tomorrow is prom. Jack is going. He has a date. We're very excited about this. He went last year, but went with a group of friends. And that's fine, and they had fun, and I think a lot of kids do that now. But I was very pleased that he asked someone. I think that's such a rite of passage. I think it's a hard thing to do, to risk rejection, and it's a good thing to do. So he has a tux, he's ordered flowers, he is going to an after party where they will stay over at his friend Charlie's all night. And if you had asked me 18 years ago, and yes, Jack will be 18 next week, if I would let my kid go and stay overnight in a co-ed group at somebody's house, I'd be like, you've got to be kidding. At this point, I can't tell you how many times Jack has done that. And, you know, it's good to know the parents. It's good to know the kids. It is my hope that they are not up to a whole heck of a lot. And this sounds wimpy, but to be honest, whatever they're up to, I'd rather them not be driving. I don't have a sense they're up to a lot, and I could be naive, but this is a pretty focused crew. This is a group of kids who have worked very hard. They're all going to great schools. They're very bright. They're a lot of fun. It's a really nice group of kids. So anyway, we're just very excited for Jack. So that's what's going on in my worldy world. The man is good. The dog is good. I'm writing. I'm on page like 152 of Stars Upon Stars. And I think I do know who done it, but now we're in the process of letting everything unfold and trying to do that naturally, which is a little bit tough. But what I remind myself, and this is what I remind myself on all sorts of projects, writing projects, quilting projects, what have you, is this is a first draft. And I will get feedback, and I will rewrite and revise again and again. So I don't have to get it perfect this time. And that's a good thing to remember. Speaking of revising, I have been doing some unquilting and now some requilting. This is on the Riley Blake Challenge Quilt, which people have offered up so many wonderful names. Someone has suggested Wing, and I really do like that. I love it in its simplicity. That may be what we go with. But I started out with this idea of doing kind of an organic curvy line. And I'm not convinced that was a bad idea. But what I did to make it a bad idea was I did the line too short, probably between 14 and 18 inches. And what I would do is quilt out a line and then echo it. Now, let me back up. What I would do first is I had a large square template that I cut out of a box because that's how I roll. Let's call it 15 or 16 by 16 square, or we could just simplify that and say 16 inch square. And I'll put that, lay that on the quilt, draw the square, and then do a wavy line across the square, and then echo that line up one half of the square. And then when I was done with that, I would do another curvy line coming out perpendicular from the first set of wavy lines. And I think that had some possibility of working if I had done much longer lines. But what I ended up doing was I think I arbitrarily divided the quilt using that square template. And There was something about that. And part of it is not knowing what I was doing, which is to say, I've not quilted a quilt like this before. The closest thing is probably the paper birds in the air quilt that I did last year, which is also an applique quilt, also had a lot of negative space. And I also had difficulty quilting it, and I also need to go back and unquilt and requilt it. Whether I ever do that remains to be seen. And sometimes if you're not quite sure what you're doing, you start out with an idea. You may not really know how to execute that idea. That is actually the story of my entire life, by the way, but certainly with this quilt. So I got a fair amount of the quilt quilted. Let's just say half, although not like from middle to bottom half, so the middle half. I don't think it works that way. Let's do thirds. The middle third quilted, and it just was not working. Partly I was having that problem that happens. This is not exactly straight line quilting, but close enough, and I've had this before with similar styles of quilting. I think it's what Jackie Gehring is referring to when she refers to whiskering. So that you sew left to right in one direction, and then instead of clipping the line, ending the line, and going back to your starting point and echoing from that point, you turn around. When you get to the end of the first line, you flip your quilt around and go back in the other direction. And it makes a kind of little bit of a ripple effect between the two lines. And I now know you shouldn't do that. Oh, you see it if you look at quilts, and I did. I went online, I was looking at quilts, and like you see it all the time. And you can even see it when you're doing two lines, parallel lines, in the same direction. But the effect can be quite exaggerated when you go up in one direction and come back in the other direction. And oftentimes what I would do is go up in one direction forward and then actually not flip the quilt, but go in reverse stitch. It was comfortable enough because I was putting a half inch between the lines, which with my walking foot worked out just by staying right at the edge of the first line. Then where my needle landed was a half inch out. So I could just reverse. But it did create these ripples. And, you know, to some extent it looks fine, but you can get to a place where it looks like a design element. It really becomes almost a focal point, and that's what was going on with this quilting. So I unquilted, and it feels sometimes a little crazy to unquilt, because say if it takes 3 hours to quilt, it can really take twice that long to unquilt. Now, I was very proud of myself with this quilting because I paid attention to stitch size. You know, and we've got somewhat of a large quilt using a domestic machine the stitches can get very tight and close together very easily. So I worked hard to, not just by going slow, but also to set the stitch length very long so that it came out kind of normal. And to some extent, the unstitching was not as bad as it's been in the past, where I would just come to these places with tiny, tiny, microscopic stitches that are very hard to remove. But, you know, still, it takes longer to unquilt than it does to quilt. And then you think, well, and then you've got to go back and requilt and hopefully not mess up again, but don't even think about that. But the way I justify it is, yeah, it's like you're having to do a do-over, you're having to revise, and that's a drag, and it does seem like a quote-unquote loss of time. But I would rather unquilt and requilt and be happy for the rest of my life with a particular quilt than just leave the quilting, feel unhappy about it, and have to live with that quilt for the rest of my life, because if I'm unhappy with the quilting, I'm not giving it away. So I unquilted. And you know what I decided to do on the requilt? Spirals. And so right now, so this is a vertical quilt, and it's got two, so, you know, it's like the birds are flying along in an S-curve. So I started out by doing a spiral that's centered around the lower S-curve, part of the S-curve, And now I'm doing the upper part of the S-curve, and there'll be intersection. And then I will have some other areas where I'm kind of doing half spirals. If that makes sense, the other half of the spiral, you would imagine it happening, I was about to say off the page, but off the side of the quilt. And those will be smaller. And it looks really good. Of course, already I finished with the first one last night and laid it out. I'm like, it doesn't even come close to lying flat. But I know from experience that I can block it flat. And I did find, I found a really good, almost like intense tutorial on blocking that I've linked to in the show notes, because I was working on show notes earlier. It's really, really good. So if you've never blocked a quilt, this one will take you through it step by step. I think earlier this year, I posted a link to, was it Quilting Jet Girl? She also has a good tutorial. And then I found one, and it's less intensive and fairly easy to describe. So I haven't posted a link to that, but from Film in the Fridge, I'm pretty sure. And she did a small spiral quilt job. Okay, let me back that up. Small quilt, wall hanging, spiral quilted, wasn't flat. And so what she did, she blocked it. And you know, you want to block before you bind, by the way. She blocked it by just spraying it with a water bottle. And then, you know, just pinned it out. And I thought that, you know, and I like that idea because I don't really want to wash this quilt. So when I blocked Modern Birds in the Air earlier this year, good grief, it's almost May, you know, I just put it through the wash cycle. I needed to wash it. I had worked so much on it. It really needed to be washed. Anyway, and then just took it out of the wash and blocked it and let it dry on the design board. This quilt, I may actually use the spray bottle and see if I can get it wet enough doing that and then block it on the design board. But I will be looking again at the very intense blocking tutorial. I can't remember the name of the person who did it, but it'll be in the show notes because she just had a lot of great ideas, particularly about pinning the quilt. So I may need to go to Joanne's and get some very serious hardcore pins, because I think this is terrible now that I think about it. With Modern Birds in the Air, I may have used the pins I use, the T-pins that I use for blocking knitting. Yeah, so I might want to go a little less hardcore than that, but maybe a little more hardcore than my sweet little Daisy pins. So I think I will have the quilting done on this by tomorrow. So it's Friday, have it done Saturday, get it blocked tomorrow night, and that would mean putting the binding on Sunday, which would be exciting. The deadline for the competition is the 30th. I have spent more time on this quilt than I intended, and sometimes it feels a little like, oh, I've got so many other things, projects I want to be working on, but you know what? It's all process, it's all learning, and I like the quilt. There are things under different circumstances I would do differently. Under the circumstances where I was insistent on not buying any more fabric for this than I had bought, I would say aesthetically, my main criticism of this quilt is that it is a too narrow. Otherwise, I like it. So there you go. Looking forward, excuse me. If I sound funny, it's very pollen-y right now, and I feel like, I don't know, my eyes are itching and my throat is itching, but we do complain about pollen. I was going to say we don't complain about the weather, and we don't, because we are above the weather, but I'm not above pollen. I am pollen's hostage right now. In any event, you know, I want to do my chairs, and I've got a bunch of quilts to quilt, and although now I'm feeling, you know, I'm feeling this is good. This is good practice. I have been watching / rewatching the Jackie Gehring Craftsy Walking Foot class, the first one. I don't know that I have even watched the second one, though I own it. And I will watch that as well. She's wonderful. She's so wonderful. I have Krista Watson's class. I want to watch that. I want to get serious about getting good at machine quilting. Now that I have found straight line quilting, walking foot quilting, which I feel like I can, if not master, do pretty dang well. You know, I just feel more possibilities available. And I love it. I love how it looks. Now, I will say this. I've been looking at a lot of quilts online. I've gotten a little bit more active on Pinterest lately. And I have like a modern quilts page, and I look at modern quilts online because I love them so much. I can see a point where we're going to get tired, and I think some people are already there, of this very dense quilting. And it's not even so much as getting tired of it, because I do like it, but looking at a lot of pictures of quilts at once, you know how it is when you pull up something, you search for something on Pinterest, modern quilts, and then you get, you know, just hundreds of them all at once, and you realize it doesn't serve every modern quilt, the straight line or the super dense, you know? But one of the things that has been interesting about watching the modern aesthetic evolve is watching the modern aesthetic evolve, you know? And so every time I get critical of things that are happening in modern quilting, like, oh, everybody just does this really... I mean, I like that, you know, we've talked about this where, you know, Carmita and I kind of argued about straight line quilting. We didn't argue. We love each other. We don't argue. But, you know, we discussed this because she's kind of tired of it. And it is a very utilitarian, functional style. So I'm not talking so much about straight line as the density of the quilting. This absolute density of the quilting that serves some quilts beautifully. And other quilts, I feel like, wow, you could use a little breathing space. between all that thread, you really could, but we'll figure it out. You know, and one of the things that happens is, you know, which is again always really interesting when it comes to culture, when it comes to style, when it comes to trends, is someone leads the way and everyone gets very caught up and enjoys it and loves it, and is, you know, you're part of the group, we're all doing this thing or that thing. And then we step back and go, huh, tired of this thing. Or you know what? The ways that this thing works are great, but the way that it doesn't work, let's move away from that. Yeah, I think I've just discussed 10,000 years of culture in a nutshell. That's how it works, people. So anyway, that's where I am. It's the weekend. I love the weekend. I am really the laziest person on the face of the earth. I have to confront that in myself almost daily. How absolutely lazy I am, and I feel it's so immature as a 52, almost 53-year-old woman that I still go, oh, I get to sleep in tomorrow. I love sleeping in. I sleep until 7:15. I've told you this before, but it's just that notion of getting up and having a slow morning. This feels very civilized to me. So I will be quilting this weekend. I don't have plans other than my wonderful Saturday afternoon writing workshop with these brilliant girls who blow me away every week with their work and their kindness to one another. That is also quite inspiring. So what I want to say now is thank you to all of you who commented in your head on the last issue. Maybe you commented on your head. Maybe you have a comment tattooed on your earlobe. I hope not. But also thanks to everyone who stopped by and said hello. I want to say thank you to Noni, to Carrie, and Laura. I want to say thanks to Vicky and Marianne. And Marianne, I owe you an email. I love the quilt that you sent me a picture of. Thanks to Jane, not my mom, Jane, but the wonderful Jane D, who's been commenting on this podcast for a long time. And Jane's the one who suggested Wing as the name. Thank you, Jane. I really love that name. And Jane says she also dislikes paying a lot for a quilt back. You know, yeah, what can I say that I haven't already said? I'm cheap. I think a piece to back looks great. and for the most part, we're living with the front of our quilt, so there. Thanks to Ellen from Scotland. Oh, I'd asked about this piece of furniture, a sort of chest, or I couldn't figure out what it was called, so the good news is no one else knew. Ellen suggested sideboard, and I think that's probably the closest thing to it. It's a little odd because of the serpentine shape of the drawers. But yeah, it could be a sideboard. Let's see. Thank you. Some people also commented on my last process blog, including Krista. Thank you. Heard from the wonderful Charlotte Scott, the slightly mad quilt lady. Heard from Patty, who's my quilt guild friend. Thank you, Patty, for listening. Heard from Andrea, who's just my old-time, long-time Tennessee, East Tennessee friend, although we've met through the podcast. But I finally got to meet her for reals at QuiltCon, and that was fabulous. Heard from Natalie. Natalie, I should tell you. So Natalie, she commented on the process post. And one of the things that I showed in the first process post, I believe, for the Riley Blake Challenge. And by the way, I've posted a second one. Maybe I'll remember to link to that in the show notes. And I had messed around. One idea I'd had for widening the quilt was two rows of 2.5 square inch blocks squares made from the fabric challenge. And she said, you know, that she liked that version, that if I played with the lights and the darks, I might actually be able to kind of create a serpentine look that would echo the wing, the curved S of the birds. And that is so brilliant. I actually spent a whole evening going, I could do that. That's a great idea. And I got close, and then my brain exploded or collapsed upon itself, one or the other. And I realized that, yes, in another world, and with another quilt, even with this quilt, were I to do this quilt again, I would figure out how to do that. I think that's a brilliant idea. I really played with it and got to a place where I could see it really working, but I couldn't quite get to the place where I could figure out how to make it happen. So if I were to do this quilt again, I would ask you, help, you know, I would say, how do I make this happen? Can you help me with that? And you would, and then it would, so anyway, so bless you, and also, I'm like, bless you, and no more good suggestions at this point in the process. But I really did spend an evening playing with that idea. It's a brilliant idea, and I just knew I didn't quite have the bandwidth to make it happen, but thank you. And then I heard from Jody. Hi, Jody. Thank you to all of you for commenting. Thank you to everyone who comments in your head. Thanks to folks who come over to the blog, all of those things. I appreciate you. I love the connection that we have. I love this community. So, you know, just makes me happy. I hope you're doing things that are making you happy. And I hope the pollen is gone where you are. I mean, past. I hope that things are still getting pollinated, because that's when we're really in trouble, when things no longer get pollinated. But yeah, I hope you're getting some quilting done. And don't forget, sign up for the newsletter over at Quilt Fiction. Read the story on the blog if you haven't. It's called The Off-Kilter Quilt, just like this podcast. All right, then, I'll talk to you next time. Bye.
Thanks for listening to The Off-Kilter Quilt. Come visit me online at offkilterquilt.com. Until next time, this is Frances. Remember, life is short. Quilt first.